of course, the big thing this year is how in the world are we going to figure out alimony and child support, or even child support, now with this new tax law. Lots of discussions, but nobody knows the answer. I mean, what it does mean is that the two parties, the family, is going to have less money, because you don't shift the tax burden unless there's a lower tax payer, and then it can shift to make it more equitable. I don't know if it's of that interest, but in any event, I think I'm pretty much done. I'm going to play the news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys, and hopefully they'll be here.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been very, very, if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes! It's still a dynasty!
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3, then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby! Six! That's all I got to say!
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Well, good afternoon. For Chamber Radio, I'm Pat Smits, and I'm going to give you an update of the weather before we start with the sports guys. So, what's happening? Today was beautiful, in the high 50s in some place, sunny. But believe it or not, the extended forecast is in some ways not good. I mean, it's not good, period. But current conditions are, you know, fair, 46 degrees. And tonight, again, mostly clear. A lot colder tomorrow. Sunny, but high of about 33 degrees, which is a lot colder. Today it was probably at least 20 degrees higher than that. By tomorrow night, can be down to about 15 degrees. Not much wind. Pretty calm in the evening. By Sunday, we're expecting a high of only about 37 degrees. But again, Sunday should be Sunday sunny. Sunny Sunday. Calm, some breeze in the afternoon. But we need to take a look at Sunday night. Chance of snow after 8 p.m., low of around 25 degrees. So, of course, that would be snow if we have precipitation. About a 40% chance of snow. However, it should be very light. Nothing to worry about. Into Monday, then Monday, again, there is a chance of snow early in the morning. Before 8 a.m., so could be make somewhat of a mess of the commute however, it should be at least freezing early, but then the problem becomes it starts to get warm, or I should say warmer, and the high should be near 39 degrees. So as I said, about a 40% chance of snow, then mostly cloudy. That's the latest, and then because earlier there was some question about snow and sleet, but now we're talking Monday night, there's about a 50% chance of snow, and again, low of about 25 degrees, so that keeps it low enough that it really will be snow. However, as I said before and earlier, the snow and sleet we can expect on Tuesday in the morning, and then freezing rain and sleet in the afternoon and during possibly the rush hour, then rain and freezing rain and sleet. So Tuesday's going to be a day to really look out and be concerned about weather-wise. And again, Tuesday night, as I said, rain, then rain and snow, low of around 30, about an 80% chance of precipitation on Tuesday night, and that's not going to be fun. So that's our weather, and we'll be back after just a couple sponsors to tell you who brings the weather.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You can see I'm playing a few spots. I was hoping that Bill and John would get here so we talk sports. And, of course, on the news, they were talking about the Super Bowl. And I guess you'd have to have your whole head in a hole. In the ground, if you didn't know that once again the Patriots won the Super Bowl. One of the most boring games that I've seen. Not even that enthusiastic about the commercials. Obviously the 2-yard touchdown by Michelle and then the field goal. Rams just couldn't get it going. And of course, many people were saying, hey, another reason why they should not have been there and New Orleans should have been there. And, of course, I think everybody would have enjoyed the game if we would have seen Breeze and Brady. But we didn't. I guess the viewers in New Orleans were way down. I guess they just boycotted down there. But in any event, and I'm sorry for my voice today, but in any event, one of the things that I did want to mention to our listeners, both the people who listen because we're the sports guys and are not members of this chamber and members of the chamber, we're going to have a future members breakfast reception. It's going to be Monday, March 18th, or I would like to say Hangover Monday, because those of us who celebrate, or at least some of those of us who celebrate St. Patrick's Day, do believe that just like Super Bowl Monday should be a national holiday, if there is the 18th of March, if it falls on a Monday, should also be a holiday. Or if the 18th of March, even if it falls in the middle of the week, should be a holiday. And, of course, if the 18th is on a Sunday, we should have 2 days off. But this is the new member, future member breakfast. And as a member of the chamber, all you need to do is bring a prospective member. And the chamber will be providing, I don't know if I can say entertainment. Sometimes we do, but I think this year we certainly are going to have a good breakfast. It's going to be at Zoop Eatery, which is on 100 Rayville Avenue, and I can't remember the name of the shopping center, excuse me, great place for soup, and now we're going to have breakfast and try to connect with all of our friends and all of the new friends that we're hoping will join us and hear a little bit more about the chamber, because there's lots going on and there's lots of opportunities as chamber members. So again, that's Monday, March 18th, starting at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 to 9:45 at Zoop. So let me play two more commercials, and then we'll talk about, and I frankly don't know what to talk about. I'm so talked out of football. We could certainly talk about the combine that's coming up and talk about the draft. And, of course, I expected John here because he's going to be raring to talk about the Boston Red Sox and whether or not their chances, what their chances are this year. But back after just a couple spots, and then we can finish the program, hopefully talking sports.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Yeah.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, I guess I'm it. Hopefully the guys are going to be here. They both told me they would. So I guess football, as I said, the Super Bowl, you know, the real issue this year was the Rams-New Orleans game, the non-call, and how in the world can that happen, and how in the world in the future, or should, I think most people, most fans, don't want to see that type of, you know, egregious non-call. I mean, what else could it be? If there is an egregious violation, how can that be handled? Personally, I think that there should be that type of call should be made. And, you know, if the referees miss it, then they need to call it from upstairs. Because I think that that type of missed call really leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, not only at, in a playoff game, as this was, of course, Rams in New Orleans, but at any time. I mean, I remember a few years ago when there was a, you know, horrible call against Green Bay in at the Seahawks, and I think that was the first game of the season. And that was, if you remember, it was when we had the refs were on strike, and so there were substitute refs at the time. But the, you know, everybody should know the who are these people. And I think that sometimes people are not aware, or maybe not as aware, as to who the referees are and what they each do. So, you know, the kids used to call them zebras because they wear black and white striped shirts. But they are, of course, the officials. And, you know, no one is going to say that they have an easy job. You know, to stand in the middle of these huge football players wearing, you know, helmets and armor, and, you know, every once in a while one of them, meaning the officials, gets run over and... you know, that's, you know, they're out there risking every limb, I guess you could say. And it's true that sometimes it's easy to be partisan, to see something, and, you know, we don't see it the same way. But unfortunately, officials are supposed to see things exactly as they occurred. And they may have the unenviable task of trying to make split-second decisions in a game that's played on fractions of decisions, but that's what they need to do. And they should get help, and they should ask for help when they need it. And that's why what we're doing is I'm talking about, and now we have Bill Wolfson, who came in slightly late, but certainly earlier than John. And, Bill, I was just trying to talk a little bit about the officials and the game. And, of course, I don't know if we want to belabor that, but I think everybody is going to talk about how the situation that happened in New Orleans with the New Orleans and the Rams should not happen again. That terrible call, and, you know, obviously there wasn't a flag, so how do you call such an egregious non-call? Did you have any views on that?
Well, all I'm going to say is that's football, folks. You can't really undo what's been done, but I have to say the officiating seems to be worse and worse, and I don't know why that is.
Well, I mean, obviously it's always that split second, but... you know, and nobody wants every single play to be looked at from upstairs.
But however, remember, a play that crucial, I'm surprised there wasn't a protest flag on the field. Why did a coach, why did the coach of the New Orleans Saints not throw the protest flag?
Could he? And I don't know under those circumstances. I didn't think he could. I may be wrong. Of course, you know, one of the concerns that the coaches have is, you know, they don't want to lose a timeout.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly when you're that close towards the end of the game and it's a conference championship. And, you know, I was very disappointed with the officiating, even in the Super Bowl. I did not think that they ran a particularly good game from the refereeing side.
Well, am I right? Is it true that in the Super Bowl, the referees who are working together are not referees that always work together? In other words, they're taking what they think are the best to have them work the Super Bowl.
I've heard that also, Pat, but I'm not sure. I think they take the top referees and put them in the Super Bowl. Plus, they have additional referees up in the booth to.
But you could
watch
understand
the
replays. Then. I would think that if referees work together generally, that would be helpful because even though they're trying to get the best referees in the Super Bowl, I would think that sometimes if you get the guys who've been working together all season, that would actually be easier. But, you know, talking about some of these plays, as you know, and I can't remember who it is on the different stations, but they have someone when there is that kind of a penalty who will call it. And so often, I'm just talking about call it to the audience, call it to the TV audience, give their view of whether or not what was happening and whether or not it would be overturned. And they seem to make, whoever this guy is, and I can't remember his name, seems to make really good calls.
Well, there have been a couple of times where they have put a retired NFL referee in the booth. And that was something that became a real issue, hot issue with the rest of the referees because they didn't want to be second-guessed. And half the fun of being a fan of any sport is second-guessing the referee or the umpire or the linesman or whatever. So I can't tell you how disturbed New Orleans Saints fans are over that missed call, but you have to move on.
Well, I think fans everywhere are, though. And I think, yeah, you have to move on, but I think that is there a way to deal with that type of egregious non-call? I think that's what people are saying.
They're going to be missed.
And the owners are the only ones that can get together and say, hey, what can we do to prevent this in the future?
Yeah, and we talked about this at a prior show.
Right.
Well,
I'm trying to think of things to talk about since you weren't here.
Well, there you go. deja vu all over again, as Yogi
and John
would
also
say.
Promised he'd be here on time.
But we know that when John comes, it's like sighting Halley's Comet.
and I know he wants to talk about the Boston Red Sox. So
I know he does, too.
Maybe you should talk a little bit about hockey.
I certainly would. And, you know, my Philadelphia Flyers were down first 1-0, then down 2-1, came back and tied the game with a goal by Claude Giroux in the final waning seconds of a game against the LA Kings to make it 2-2. The overtime period ended up scoreless. And then they lost in the shootout, but the shootout went 6 rounds. So they finally, their 8-game winning streak was broken by a bottom-feeding team, the Los Angeles Kings, 3-2. So tomorrow the Flyers have another game, and let's see if they can get back on the winning path again.
Now, do you
they're
find...
They're playing the Anaheim Ducks.
that's
also bottom feeders.
Well, I always think that's interesting, but then... Not only is there the Anaheim Ducks, but there are the Oregon Ducks. You know, you kind of think, you know, that's not, at least I always thought that was a strange name to call a football team, the Ducks.
But even stranger name to call a hockey team. But there used to be a minor league team called the Long Island Ducks that were part of, I think, the old East Coast Hockey League or the AHL.
Well, we won't get into funny names because I still say the strangest when you look back was the Beloit Ferries.
The Deloitte what?
No, Beloit.
Beloit?
One of the early NFL, I don't know if they even called them NFL at the time, one of the early football teams played, you know, Green Bay, Chicago, Beloit Ferries.
The Ferries.
The Ferries. The well, Beloit Ferries.
I don't think that would go over well today. In
I don't think so.
Type of climate, modern climate.
But can you imagine? I mean, Beloit was even a smaller town than Green Bay. Much smaller. I mean, a tiny little town.
Maybe like 3,000.
Well, I mean, I don't think back then there were 3,000 people in Beloit. So,
The difficulty with a place like, way back when in that football conference, that was the All-American Football Conference that I think folded in the 20s and picked up a number of the NFL teams. But, folks, we've got kind of an interesting hockey season developing. We have the New Jersey Devils that are not playing well at all. They've got a poor record. It doesn't look like they're going to have a good season, but there's some good draft choices out there, particularly Jack Hughes, who seems to be tearing up the Western Hockey League. And he may find himself a New Jersey Devil farmhand one of these days pretty soon. Additionally, as you know, it's pitchers and catchers at the end of this month, and we're waiting to see who signs Manny Machado and who signs Bryce Harper. The Yankees don't seem to be jumping in there. They seem to like their team the way it is. Hopefully that won't hurt them. I'd rather have Bryce Harper, though, in the outfield than have Manny Machado at third, because Manny Machado just doesn't hustle, and I don't think he's going to be a good fit in New York, whereas Bryce Harper just likes to play baseball. The Phillies made a couple of trades with the Marlins. We don't know exactly how that's going to shake out, but they gave up a catcher in return for two pitchers. So it just seems to me that like the kind of deal where I'll give you one dog if you give me two cats. So we'll have to try to figure that one out as well. The funny thing this year in sports is it just doesn't seem like it's any fun. Did anybody manage to stay awake during that Super Bowl? I had some trouble myself. In fact, as much as I like defensive football, and both teams were pretty good on the defensive side of the ball, there wasn't much offense until the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter in that game. And you know, it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. It was also probably the least interesting of Super Bowls that I have seen. And although I didn't care particularly about the teams playing, I was kind of hoping for the Rams because I don't like the New England Patriots or Belichick, although he is certainly a heck of a coach. I was disappointed. The game just wasn't a fun game. I call it the sleeper bowl. I don't know about you, Pat, but it's a kind of game where it was kind of tough to stay awake. Did you and your husband watch the sleeper bowl?
Oh, well, we went. First of all, I cooked for 2 days, and we went to and watched it with Sue and the kids and one of the neighbors. And so thank goodness we did that because, you know, we ended up most of the time actually even chit-chatting a little bit. And we're all diehard football fans, so we don't chit-chat except during commercials. And usually Super Bowl commercials are so great that you want to watch them. I was not even impressed with the commercials.
Well, my wife watched the Super Bowl with me, and she thought each commercial was worse than the next, with the exception of the ones with the Clydesdale horses, which are beautiful animals, and it was a pretty ad. It was a Budweiser ad, if I remember.
Well, it's always Budweiser if it's Clydesdale.
Yeah, the Clydesdale horses are part of their trade dress and trade symbols, and I've actually have seen the Budweiser Clydesdale horses at county fairs out in the central Pennsylvania sometimes. But I think there are a bunch of different teams, and they send them around. What was the most annoying commercial?
I don't know, because I frankly, there was one with a SpongeBob that I didn't quite understand.
I didn't get that one either.
But the kids seem to, but they thought that was going to be something more. I don't know. I thought even the halftime show, I did not like the halftime show. I thought compared to other halftime shows, it was just mediocre. What's the commercial with, and I think it was on, frankly, I don't know if it was on or just the playoff, where all of these guys in different color suits, like the blues and the oranges, and what commercial is that? That one I think is
pretty...
I thought
that had something to do with Google or Microsoft, one of those
probably
companies.
Right. I forgot the company, but that's real.
That was kind of
impressive.
Interesting to look
that's
at.
That's impressive. But the other thing, did you realize there was not a single American car or truck ad?
I noticed that, and my wife pointed that out too. She said, what happened to Ford and Chevy and Chrysler? Don't they advertise American cars on the Super Bowl anymore?
Well, they used to, and usually trucks.
It used to be Ford, and it used to be their trucks or Chevy and their trucks. But
and during the playoff games, there were a lot of commercials
for that.
With the, I think it's, is it the Chevy with the new, you know, the back that, you know, the tailgate that goes down that you can just walk right up.
Yep.
Don't know how much that adds to the price of a Chevy.
I'm sure that's at least $3,000 or $4,000.
That's actually an interesting ad if you look at that ad. But I was not impressed with, so we really chit-chatted a lot, ate some good food, and, but of course, maybe I shouldn't say this on the air, but maybe I should. My daughter lives between Princeton and Hopewell. So we sat around afterwards. The game was over very quickly. And so as we were coming back, I said to Dave, you watch, I'll get pulled over in Flemington. I'm driving a truck. It's 1:30 in the morning, and guess who just came in? So we'll forget that story, and we'll talk to...
We'll hear more and more about what's going on in the real world. But, you know, I think this was got to be the most uninteresting Super Bowl from the kickoff through the halftime show to the end of the game. Unless you were a Patriots fan, and then you were on the edge of your seats because the Rams were in it until the last 5 minutes... it just wasn't any fun.
It was a defensive game, and I recognize that.
I like defensive football.
But I didn't even think it was from a defensive. What do you think, John?
It was no defensive
game. Well, good afternoon, and thanks.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you
very
much.
We're wearing Red Sox pajamas, I
think. I was all prepared to talk about the defense of a world championship because none of the people in this room, including myself, had any stake in the Super Bowl. And, to your point, it was certainly a less than thrilling game. But and to Bill's point, I think a classic defensive struggle, much like a 0-0 game in baseball or hockey, those can be very, very interesting games.
But this one wasn't.
The point. You really – I think you had 13 punts or something like that.
If you like punts, it was your game.
Yeah, if you like punts, it was your game. Very well put, Bill. But I think, Pat, to answer your question, it was – like most Super Bowls, it was – I think on the Rams' part, they played not to lose. New England played – as if they were confident, just keep it close into the fourth quarter. We'll find a way to win because they always do.
But they didn't play that well either. I really was not impressed.
Yeah, well, you got to give the Rams defense a lot of credit for shutting down some of Gronkowski, mostly until the one big play. I mean, obviously, Edelman ate them alive between the 20-yard lines. And they also got some pressure on Brady. That finally hit him. And overall, I don't think the Rams had anything to be ashamed about. The big problem was, obviously, you had a young quarterback in Goff who missed a couple of opportunities. I think there were three or four throws that if he could take those back, you'd have a different outcome in the game.
You know, it was very interesting to me the way the Patriots would never let on whether they were in zone or man-to-man until after the ball was snapped.
Yeah, and they did that. That's exactly right, Bill. And that was probably the key to the game defensively because they knew they had a young Goff who couldn't read that.
Yeah.
Whereas Mahomes was able to read that. Goff is not that accomplished.
The other interesting thing is you have in Los Angeles a 33-year-old coach in Sean McVay and a 71-year-old defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips, who I've always admired.
Well, my admiration is probably a little bit too strong, but I've always kind of liked the guy. I think he's gotten a bum rap, and yeah, that's a bad joke because his father was bum. But I wouldn't say I was enamored or admirous of him, but he's a solid defensive genius, really. And again, you've got to – it's hard. We don't give credit as much to defensive play as perhaps we should, but I think that you had – a lot of great defensive players on display there, and there weren't many mistakes. You got to remember, New England makes a living off of your mistakes.
You're right.
That's right.
You're absolutely
right. No question about that, because remember, they're the most opportunistic team in football.
Correct.
But the defense, you know, the Rams defense especially, had to be very disappointed because they did play well.
Right.
And
they turned that ball over to their offense numerous times, which was on the Patriots' side of the field a few times and just couldn't.
Right.
But most of the time, the Patriots won that field position. I mean, how many times did the Rams start inside their own 10-yard line?
Right.
Six times.
Six times. Yeah. And that was, again, this is classic Belichick, you know, X's and O's, nuts and bolts. And nobody's better than he is at it. I don't like the guy. I'm not saying that in an admiring way. He's just, I think, the best coach there is in that regard. He's excellent at spotting weakness. He's excellent also at spotting strength and finding a way to neutralize your strength.
What was very interesting to me is how number 99 for L.A., Aaron Jordan, I think is his name, James, I forget, but we talked about him last week, who is this really fine defensive linebacker, and Belichick says he's literally unblockable, but how they found ways to neutralize him, and yeah, he forced six or seven hurry-ups, and he sacked Brady a couple of times. And a number of times when
they
Brady
played,
handed
in
the
my
ball
opinion,
off.
Bill, I agree with you. I think they played well enough defensively to win.
I agree.
But to Pat's point, the offense, and a lot of this has been laid at Goff's feet. Look, the kid is not terrible. I wish he were on the Giants. Yeah, I think he has a great future ahead of him. And but he on that particular day, I think the game. I know personally, I felt that he was overwhelmed by the game.
Well, you know, if you looked at the the opening moments before the game, Brady looked focused and Goff looked a little uptight. Just the body language.
Well, Brady been there eight times.
Yeah,
before.
I mean, come on, you know.
So there's something to be said for experience.
Oh, no doubt, but. If you looked at Goff's body language, he looked a little scared to me.
You're right. Well, his body language never looked good.
I hope he would have been scared. You would have expected
him to. He never looked
good.
And that's the thing that's amazing. When you talk about defensive teams in the league, it's amazing to me. There's no big stars on that line. You never think of the Patriots as being a sack defensive. Yet, in the big games, they seem to pressure the quarterback and come up with the sacks.
Well,
it's
they
amazing.
Also, at least I remember when they played the Packers, they also came up with some stuff, something new, something that wasn't
expected.
Oh, there's
always a wrinkle.
And, you know, you're right about one thing. They really can read everyone. But what was surprising to me is I don't think either team had a lot of people out on injury. You know,
no, I think they're relatively healthy, which is
the line,
another benefit to that two-week wait
right.
before. I mean, we all hate that interim. Nobody wants the Pro Bowl, and you hate 2 weeks. We always call it the weekend without football, right?
Right.
But they need that 2 weeks, A, to prep the hype, They maximize the economic value of the event, and it allows teams to heal up a little bit. So you're right. They basically went into that game, other than guys who were like on IR and they had already been out for the season, went into that game relatively healthy.
Yeah, and I thought the Rams, especially their line. Well, anyway, I know you want to talk about baseball.
Well, you know, I also wanted to engage Bill for a few minutes on the hockey. We're in the middle of the season, and right now it's kind of the make or break. And I heard an interesting thing on the radio, of course, and this was MSG, and they're the Rangers Network, and they were talking about the NHL trading deadline coming up in about 2 weeks. And the speculation was the Rangers would be sellers. Now they're saying, oh, no, they can work their way back into the playoffs and go on a run, and they have a shot. I mean, here's a team that at least the Devils and the Flyers have conceded their struggle. And what's amazing, the good news for the Devils and the Flyers is that they do have some good young talent. They have decent rosters, but they've had a lot of bad – I mean, I know with New Jersey – they probably lost 8 to 10 games they easily could have won, which a younger, inexperienced team finds a way to lose. And right. I think with the Flyers, they've had a little bit of that, and they also have had a couple of their younger stars have bad years, like the Ghost, Gostisbehere. He's had an off year. The centers have not played as well. So I think both Philly and – because Bill and I were kind of giddy at the end of last year, if you remember, Bill. We were all but ready to make our reservations for the Eastern Conference Final. But we thought one or both of us are going to get there, or at least they're going to go – there's going to be a deep run in the playoffs. And it's been and with New Jersey, they started off 4-0. Remember, they started the season off 4-0.
Right.
Maybe some of that had to do with scheduling. But I think that, of course, with New Jersey, their number one goaltender was hurt. And the backup goalie, Kincaid, who, pretty good goalie, just wasn't ready. He just has had a bad year. So they found a young kid who's actually been decent. But the point is, you're not going to win.
Carter Hart's been on fire. He's won 8 straight games.
Yeah, well, but the Flyers are a streaky team. They'll lose the next day. That's their problem.
No question about it. The Flyers are a very streaky team. But, you know, last night they played Anthony Stolarz. It was his first NHL game in about 8 months. He's been injured. He's been on injured reserve. He was down at Lehigh Valley. Then he was back up where when he was at Lehigh Valley, the Flyers have had one goalie problem after another. They're now saying that Carter Hart, who made a tremendous save the other night against the Bruins, where he literally went from one end of the net, one side of the net, dove to the other, and managed to block a shot from about 6 feet out, which has made every NHL highlight show so far that I've seen. And so, you know, we may have the real guy here, but we haven't had a guy this good since Pelle Lindbergh, in my view.
It's been a while.
Is he another Martin Brodeur? I don't think
so.
Another Bernie Parent? Maybe. Yeah. But remember, Parent had a lot of years where he struggled, including in the WHA.
Yeah, and he also suffered some bad defensemen in front of him, too.
Oh, sure. Ed Van Impe was like a traffic cone.
Yeah.
But getting back to the NHL this year, it hasn't been a fun year until the Flyers
got hot. It really hasn't. You know, nobody likes Washington, and they're the defending champions. And Tampa is kind of, you know, a team. It's hard to like them. You know, Boston's having a good year, and they're peaking at the right time. They have a 30-goal scorer leading the league. You know, you in the West, you've had look at Chicago. You know, they're down. They're down at the bottom. And, you know, that's the regular cycle. So, you know, but it's February. I mean, when does the NHL season start, Bill?
Well, I was going to
just
say.
March 15th.
Right.
And what about all of us who are diehard football fans and don't pay any attention or almost no attention to hockey until football's over?
Well, that's the point.
Are there a lot? Yeah. Do you feel there are a lot more people who really get interested in hockey.
Oh, no question
right
about
now.
It. Basketball, too.
Yeah.
To some extent, basketball, too. But I think hockey more so. There's that crossover
right.
That people, yeah, there's no question about it. I remember all the years, 25 years, had Devils tickets. That and many of the games were sold out, not all of them, many, but after football season, they were all sold out. And
so what's happened now? Why the decline now?
You mean with New Jersey?
Well, yeah. I
or
mean,
just
you don't,
talk about the league in
well,
general?
Well, no, I mean, they don't have all these sellout games now.
I don't think attendance has been a problem. I mean, look, selling out is a bit over. If you've got a 17,000 seat arena and you're consistently putting 14,000 to 15,000 in there, you should make money. You're doing okay, and they're doing that. And then with the big teams, they're going to sell it. So they haven't had an attendance problem
really?
That I've been aware of, notwithstanding a mediocre year. So I don't think it's been the attendance problem at all.
You know what?
They've got some stars in that team that people like. Taylor Hall was the MVP last year. Nico Hershey is a great young player, 20 years old. I mean, they've got some stars they can build around. Flyers the same thing. I don't think you have an attendance problem in this part of the country.
Well they all should take – I'm going to just one point. They should all do one thing that Atlanta does the best. And did you hear about what it costs – for food at that stadium, it's
oh, the
very
owner did something.
Cheap.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
very
no, it's,
cheap.
It's
you
like
want
you get
people
a hot
to be able
dog.
To take their families
exactly.
to a game.
Exactly. You
yeah.
get a
dollar
hot dog for maybe $2.
Yeah.
And I mean, that to me,
yeah.
and in fact, I was thinking about it, and I thought, now why doesn't Green Bay do that? I mean, Green
well,
Bay
because
doesn't
they don't have to.
Well,
okay?
but they should do it because
I mean,
they
no,
have
why don't the Yankees do it? They're going to... Well actually, to be honest with you, the Yankees have had an attendance problem.
Yeah.
Last year, they were getting 20,000 to 25,000 there.
On a weekend.
The Yankees suffered. Well, you know what it was? They were 10 games behind Boston.
Right.
And even though the Yankees had a good team, the people were just pissed.
Just for interesting about that, the people who are paying $400 and $500 for a seat in the first six rows behind the Yankee dugout or behind the visitor's dugout, they don't want to see the Yankees lose.
They don't want to see it. You'd rather not go.
Yeah.
You know, they figure, I'm spending this money. I'm a winner. I want to see a winner.
Right, right.
But,
no.
But
and
the
Steinbrenners have been accused of being skinflints and not spending the kind of money.
The kids, yeah. Not like George.
Right.
These are the kids. I mean, George would have already signed Machado,
right.
Harper, and
correct.
Probably Babe Ruth again.
Correct.
But,
yeah.
You get back to the cost of the game. The Yankees get more and more and more expensive.
Well, nobody.
Ridiculous.
I think Boston now has the most. They've actually gone past New York. I mean, I know the last game I went to with Allison in June, we were in left field. We had very good seats for Fenway because it's a small park anyway. But it was about those tickets. Of course, we bought them through a ticket exchange. But the face value of the tickets was about $80. And we were not nearly a premium seat, Bill. So, I mean, Boston is an extremely expensive place to watch sports.
And, it's interesting because if you go to sit on top of the Green Monster, that's a primo seat.
Yeah, I've done that. The Monster seats are about 600. You can get them for about $600 to $800.
But that's, who
that's
can
insane.
Afford that?
But that's just, we did it once. Because you want
right.
to do it, you know?
I'll say you've done it.
And my brother and I did it once, and
yeah,
I'll probably treat Allison to that this year.
But
if you got four kids, you're
kids.
Spending $3,000 on a game. Yeah,
and then the food. When we went to the Devils game that time, the food was just ridiculous.
Oh, the food, yeah, that's why we never eat anything there. We went. First
but
of all, food wasn't that good.
No.
But it's extremely expensive arena food. And the whole thing, that's a whole nother – we can devote a whole show to that.
I guess we could.
Okay.
But I really liked it when I heard that even for the Super Bowl, the one thing that was reasonably
yes.
priced
yep.
was the food and the
yep.
beer. And
yep.
they frankly should
yep.
probably
the
charge
thing,
one thing for beer at the first
the,
half and
yeah.
double the price
the
of the
other thing,
half.
And I actually heard this suggested on the radio by Boomer Esiason. He said, why don't they have on Friday and Saturday nights, student night, every, not just once a year, students get in for $5. They get a hot dog for bring the students there. Let them come, high school and college students. It gives them a place to go. They're going to grow up to have an affinity for the game. You're building exactly. future fans. And, you know, you need to squeeze every drop out of a 17-year-old kid. You know, get every penny. You know, give the kid a break. It overall would be a much, much better way to go. Nobody's saying you got to give them premium seats. But, you know, get the kids in the ballpark. Give them some place to go.
I absolutely agree. But it's not only a place to go. But it seems to me, and I think most people become fans when they're kids.
Exactly.
I mean, when I
exactly.
grew up.
Exactly right.
You know, granted, exactly I grew up right. in a small town in Wisconsin. But back then, I mean, we were all baseball fans, and we spent all our money on bubble gum so we could
get the baseball cards.
Yeah, to get the baseball cards. I mean, it was
I know people who are my age, 67. They're female, and they can tell you what the back, you know, from they have a good recollection of the back of Phillies baseball cards for reserve catchers from 1964.
Yeah.
I mean, Gus Triantos.
Yeah, but
I can call a friend of mine who's a very skilled litigator in Philly, my friend Linda, and who occasionally listens to this show, and she can tell you what Gus Triantos hit in 1965, and she can also tell you that he led the league in passed balls.
But, Bill, the point of it is it's like stamp collections, coin collections. Okay, kids don't do this stuff anymore. They don't do it.
Well, they can get all the information on the phone instantly.
It isn't just the information. When we were kids, it was the idea of having a Mickey Mantle rookie card. I mean, these cards were very valuable.
Well, and we traded them.
That's why they were called trading cards.
And if we got a good trade, I mean, it made our day.
Yeah, of course. I'll give you four crappy Yankee cards for one Red Sox bench warmer card. I think I gave up a Mantle card one time for a Dalton Jones card, who was a reserve second baseman for the Red Sox and stuff like that. It was
Yankee cards were not big in the Midwest. Let me just play a couple spots because we're going to run out of time soon.
Oh, darn, we were just getting.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC.
Let's say goodbye because we probably are going to get week, of course, they didn't rewind at 6 o'clock, but if they do it, we're going to be
let's just shut off very quickly.
We
can just talk right through it, folks. So let me wish everybody a great weekend. The sun's supposed to shine and get up off that couch.
And it's supposed to be cold, though.
Well, cold is good as long as it's not windy. I'm heading to central Pennsylvania, the land of the good eaters, and I'm going to hear all kinds of stuff about football and spring track season. And we might I was hoping to get through Hershey and you can catch a Bears game, but they're not here at home.
Okay. See you next week. And these guys promise they're going to be on time.
Senator John McCain saying of the GOP Senate health care bill,
I fear that it's going to fail, and then we should convene a Republican conference. What are we going to do?
McCain saying he believes it's time to let Democrats in on the process of building the bill. I'll ask him to see Bogus Law volcano continues to erupt. Travel ban that Aleutian Island volcano to travel to the U.S. up the latest from 30,000 feet over the weekend.
In addition to grandparents, the new guidelines also include grandchildren, uncles, aunts, and some in-laws. Those family members were initially excluded from a list of close relatives that were exempt from President Trump's travel ban. That list of relatives was made after the U.S. Supreme Court reinstated parts of the ban, but says people who have close family relationships to people in the U.S. should be allowed to apply for visas. President Trump's temporary travel ban blocks people from traveling to the U.S. from the right mostly Muslim countries.
A Pennsylvania man accused of killing four men says he's killed before.
Call a place for mom at 1-800-379-2206.